Hi there, this is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible episode number 49. This is the podcast where we are reading through the Bible in a year. I'm Steve Webb, and I'm your host. I'm so happy that you've invited me to spend part of your Saturday with you. Thank you. If you'd like to contact me, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Here's an update on the air conditioning situation here at LifeSpring Central. It's fixed. Mike, the AC guy, came over yesterday afternoon about 6:30 with his apprentice and put in the new circuit board. And the AC has been running flawlessly ever since. If you're in, or if you know someone, in the Inland Empire in Southern California, Lotshaw Air Conditioning is a great, ethical, family-owned company. And by the way, this is not a paid advertisement. I just think that great mom-and-pop companies should get as much exposure as possible. Mike has saved me so much money over the years, and yesterday he once again helped keep my 32-year-old air conditioner alive. Of course, one of these days I'll have to replace it, but I know that it won't be because some guy just wants to make a $15,000 to $20,000 sale. It'll be because it truly is worn out. I told Mike a few weeks back when I started having trouble with the AC again that the system was probably truly dead, so he certainly could have sold me a system. But he doesn't work like that. He tracked down the problem, and he fixed it. This is truly what doing business with a Christian business owner should be like. So if you need air conditioning or heating help and you're in the Inland Empire, call Lotshaw Air Conditioning at 951-769-3970. That's Lotshaw, by the way, at 951-769-3970. Tell them Steve Webb from the LifeSpring family of podcasts told you to call. Now, since it's Saturday, we get to read from the Gospels, Matthew 17 through 19 to be specific. And if you'd like to know what Bible translation I'm using today, that info will be at the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com. Look for episode number 49. And this is a listener-supported show. Today I want to give a very special thank you to Denise Inglis, who sent in a generous donation today. Denise has been a longtime listener to the LifeSpring shows and to a lot of podcasts for many years. And I'm really thrilled that she's still listening even after I took an extended break from producing new episodes. Denise, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And beloved, if you'd like to know how you can help support the show, go to lifespringmedia.com/support. All the details are there and why I ask you for support. All right, let's get into our reading for today. Matthew 17 through 19. Matthew chapter 17. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Jesus answered and said to them, Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, Does your teacher not pay the temple tax? He said, Yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? Peter said to him, From strangers. Jesus said to him, Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Matthew chapter 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to them and placed the child among them. And he said, Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep, and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that 1 sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if 2 of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where 2 or 3 gather in my name, there I am with them. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. And this servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Matthew chapter 19. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh.' So they're no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." "Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If this is the situation between a husband and wife, it is better not to marry." Jesus replied, "Not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by others. And there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it." Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Well, did anything strike you as strange when you heard the reaction from Peter, James, and John when Jesus told them not to tell anyone what they had seen on the mountain when Moses and Elijah appeared and spoke with him? Remember, he told them, "Don't tell anyone until the Son of Man is risen from the dead." And what did they say? They said, "Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" That is not what I would have said. I think my first reaction would have been, "Risen from the what? What do you mean, risen from the dead?" I don't know, maybe they did say something like that, but we're only told of the discussion of Elijah. Yeah, that's probably it. And then later in chapter 17, Jesus again told them of his death and resurrection. The verse says, "Now, while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And the third day he will be raised up.'" And it says that the disciples were exceedingly sorrowful at this news. Now, of course, I understand their sadness at hearing that their friend, their rabbi, their Lord, was going to be killed. But again, they completely missed the most important part when he said, "And the third day he will be raised up." I think I would have said, "Raised up? What do you mean raised up?" They just let the most important event in the history of mankind slip right by them. Maybe it was just so huge that their minds had no idea how to process the words. But beloved, this was to be the event that would change everything for anyone who believed. Nothing in all of history would surpass this coming event. Sometimes we just don't see the things that are the most important. We get stuck in our own little self-constructed mindset. And when something really huge comes along, we don't see it, because it doesn't fit our view of the world. The disciples could not grasp the idea of Jesus coming back to life, so it seems to have gone completely over their heads. Beloved, let's pray that God opens our eyes. Let's ask Him to make us aware of His will and His moving in our lives. Let me know your thoughts. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Well, tomorrow's Sunday, the first day of the week, and we'll be in Romans, and we'll read chapters 15 and 16. If you enjoy this podcast, if you get value from this podcast, I invite you to check out lifespringmedia.com/support. And also, please tell your friends about the show. Now, until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thanks for being here. Bye.